Thanks for hitting that button. You are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
All right, guys, you ready to rock? Are you excited? Well, sit back and enjoy. And welcome to the Mark the Shark Show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mark the Shark Show. Hope everyone's having a great day. We have a great episode in store for you. So sit back and enjoy the show.
During World War II, I was in prison in a Nazi camp. I died there, or so I thought. Instead, I became a creature of the dark world. Now I fight to protect my daughter. I am Marcus the Vampire. The book is now available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and RetortoFamilyBooks.com.
Hi, this is Coralyn Jewell. You're listening to the Mark the Shark podcast show.
Everybody, welcome back to the Mark the Shark Show. Today, we got a very exciting, interesting person interview. His name is Jason Johnson. How you doing today, Jason?
Great. Great. How are you doing?
Okay. So, Jason, you're a director, huh?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm an independent film director that's based in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, how did you get into directing? Because that's like not an easy field to get into.
No, it's not actually. And I think it was really by accident. After college, I followed a girl out here to the West Coast and didn't have a job. And then I applied for tons of jobs. Didn't even know what I was even interviewing for. And the one place that called me was Francis Ford Coppola Winery. The famed film director that opened his winery, and they gave me a shot at first pouring wine, but I wasn't so good at that, but they saw that I had some creative ability, and then I kind of started in their marketing department and then transitioned into film from there.
Okay, so you didn't originally go to school for film then, right?
You know, I always had a desire to do film, and when I went to undergrad, I had a radio, TV, and film program that I participated in, but it was mostly for like broadcast news. There was nothing really creative about it, and I was like, oh man, this is terrible, but it worked out.
Now, was that your major, or was that just like an elective class you took?
No, it was actually my major. I studied under the communication discipline, and then that was kind of like a subset of that major.
Oh, okay. So then when you graduated college, you just did you try going immediately into that field, or did you try different stuff because it was hard to get into?
I was applying for things that, you know, anything that was really paying the bills, you know, at the time. So the only place that really called me was that winery that, you know, gave me the opportunity in marketing. And then film after that. So it's something that, you know, I didn't intentionally go after, but I do feel that filmmaking is something that the universe calls out to you, and you just kind of follow the ride.
Okay. And then like, what kind of films have you been producing? Is it like a certain genre?
I've been mostly doing dramas. I've done 9 films now. All of them have been dramas. And of those 9 films, I've gotten into 82 film festivals, and I won 6 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not any local film festivals, or is it the one? Because I know in New York, they usually have a film festival.
I've been in festivals pretty much all over the globe. You know, I've been in ones in Germany, France, Italy. Been in a lot of the ones in the States here, California, New York. Texas, Florida. So just a little bit everywhere.
Okay. And then how do you like get, how do you fund your films? Is it, do you find like someone to invest, or how does that work?
I think it can happen in a multitude of different ways. I've done crowdfunding where, you know, you kind of go to Kickstarter or Seed and Spark. And then, you know, they, if people like your concept, and they'll give you money. I've self-financed, you know, work a job and then, you know, pay for the film however you can. I've done films for free. I've had investors give me money to make a film project. So I've, at this point in my career, I've had kind of a round experience of all investors, I guess, to this point. Now I'm looking for an investor to give me a lot of money to make a feature film, because, you know, short films just don't really, they don't really drive your career forward in the way that they need to.
Oh, okay. So can you talk to us a little bit more about this upcoming feature project? Did you write the screenplay for it, or you're working with the screen writer?
No, I've written the screenplays for all the films that I've written so far. And this particular one is called Counterfeit Cabernets. It's loosely based off of my time in the Napa Valley when I was a wine steward. I didn't like wine. I didn't know anything about wine. So I remember when I was a wine steward, I'd kind of mix wines, kind of like make a little cocktail. And I would get in trouble for that. But I thought that that was kind of funny. And, you know, I kind of made a story about a wine vintner that gets into a lot of trouble with his underground gambling. And he has to make and sell counterfeit wine to kind of get out of trouble with the wrong gangsters.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's the drama piece of it.
Yeah, so, I guess it's kind of a dark comedy, so kind of in the vein of what Tarantino might do, maybe what Spike Lee may do as far as some of the writing characters. So
now, do you work with the same actors in all your films, or do you, like, how do you go about getting the actors? Is it the same group of people? Do you have like an agent that you work with that helps you find actors and actresses?
So the last, so when I was starting out, I was the actor, and I was just like, oh my God, you know, I have anyone to, you know, act in these projects. But as I've gone along, I'm lucky that, you know, things have gotten to be more sophisticated. So for the last three projects, we've actually had a casting director that I've worked with that will seek out the information of like kind of the dossier of the characters, and then they'll find talent, and then we'll audition that talent together and, you know, make the decisions. So okay. I'm really lucky that, you know, I have that opportunity to do that.
All right. Now, look, since you're looking for funding for this film, you haven't started anything with this one, have you? Or have you just...
I've written the screenplay, and I've sent it out to about 8 film festivals to kind of gauge if, you know, they thought that it was interesting or funny. And so far I've gotten into 5 film festivals, and it's been selected as a finalist and a semi-finalist. So I think that's pretty good. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, I can get in front of a creative producer and, you know, we can kind of workshop some things that may not be working. But overall, I think it's pretty good.
So how do you get into those film festivals with this? Is it like a mock-up version of the film that you plan to have the final version, I should say, like a mock-up of it, like a demo of it, and then that's how you submit it?
So there's this wonderful website called Film Freeway, and it's kind of like an Amazon for film festivals, if you will.
Okay.
So you upload your project, and then from there, if you see a film festival that piques your interest, then you can kind of put that into the shopping cart, so to speak. Mm. And then, you know, you just check out. And then from there, everything kind of works seamlessly through that site. So that's how you would get a project up there. But most of the time you want to upload the best possible project because, you know, you have judges on the other end, you know, judging your material. So with these film festivals, I kind of just use it as a gauge is if it's funny, if it's not funny, if it's kind of, you know, hitting the marks that I had hoped that it would.
Okay. And then sometimes I'm assuming some of these judges probably can hook you up with what you're looking for, right? Like another producer.
No, not necessarily. So they will accept or deny the film. So if it's officially selected or rejected, but when it's officially selected, then that gives you a idea of, you know, well, this particular film festival thought that it was good and they have a good pedigree for measuring talent. So you can take that to other producers, investors, et cetera, and then make your pitch. So it just kind of reaffirms your pitch. It's like if you were like an athlete and you won a couple of Olympic awards and then you're going to Nike to pitch yourself, they would be more likely to pick you up than if you won an award opposed to if you'd never won anything.
So it's like a resume booster, so to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Now the previous films that you've directed and like, where are they? Are they like on Amazon or Netflix or something? Or
I put three of them up on YouTube. There's one or two on Vimeo, and then there's two that I can't show because I had to take out music licensing. And if you ever worked with music licensing, you kind of get like this window of opportunity to use it. And then after that, it expires. So I could either buy it in perpetuity or I could use it for a limited amount of time. And since this is a short and it's more like a calling card, I don't want to continue to keep paying for you know, the music licensing. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the ones on YouTube there, I forget there's a term, like a web show or something. I forget the term like that. Cause a while back I was looking to turn like one of my books that I wrote into a movie. And I forget the name of the service that offered,
like YouTube has like
there's like a service that if you have like a content that you want to turn into a film, you put it on their platform. I just can't think of what it was called right now, but like a web series, I guess you would call it, right? Because it's on the internet instead of like a TV series. Well, no one really, you know, everything's internet based now, but
yeah.
Okay. Now, how do you get royalties from that? Then is it just the amount of views you get on YouTube? And like a regular YouTuber would make money or?
Yeah. So like if I'm not a YouTuber and it's just like, I don't know. It's like to all the YouTubers out there, you know, if they can monetize it and, you know, get like millions of views, I think that's great. But I personally just never really had any desire to doing that. It just seems like a lot of excess work for me. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go somewhat of a traditional route as far as honing my craft, making the films, going the festival route, and then, you know, meeting with distributors, producers, etc., instead of, you know, trying to do affiliate marketing and stuff like that. I'm not saying that I'm above it or anything. It's just not something that I'm really interested in doing right now. So.
Oh, so the ones on YouTube, they're not monetized. You don't monetize it. It's just out there just to get your name out there.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I could see how to, you know, because you would need a large audience to get that, to make any role.
Yeah, and I just YouTube. Haven't put enough energy into my YouTube channel. It's just like, maybe this will go up there. I don't know, but you know, it's just I haven't really uploaded a lot of stuff to YouTube. People tell me that I should teach classes and stuff like that, and it's just like I don't know if I'm interested in doing all that. But I guess we'll see. Everybody changes, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm reading up like on, you know, the profile that you submitted to be on the podcast. It said like at one point you were even homeless, like before you got into this.
Yeah.
Into that. Like, how did you go from being homeless to doing getting to the point where you are now?
Yeah. So I, at probably about 6 years ago, I went independent where, you know, I wasn't working for a particular job. I guess went the full entrepreneur route. And I was a location manager that was just working kind of the gig life. And when I first started, it was fantastic because, you know, you work on two or three large projects like a Facebook, a Lego, an Amazon, you're going to rake in probably about $20,000 to $25,000 a month. And I was like, wow, this is great. You know, I'm making a ton of money and I wasn't really saving that money. I was just, you know, thinking that that gravy train was going to run forever. And then suddenly it stopped. And I was just like, you know, I couldn't find the work that I was once getting. And, you know, long story short, I moved into, I bought a van and moved into that for about 6 months. And then, you know, really rehomed my strategy as far as, you know, saving money and storing away for a rainy day. So it was a very humbling and interesting time.
Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting. But that must have been hard, though, right? That whole experience.
It kind of sucked. I'm not going to lie. It kind of sucked. But in a way, you know, it was really, you know, it was really interesting. You know, I often say everyone should try to be live the van life at one point of their career, because there's a lot of things that you can do when you live van life opposed to traditional, you know, a traditional home. And in some ways I miss it. In some ways, you know, I'm happy that I had it, the opportunity, but we'll never go back to it. But you know, in some regards it was great, but in many, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm on your website now looking at your completed projects. Like out of all of them, like the ones, all those little short films, like was there one that stood out from the rest that you were really proud of?
Well, one of the first ones that I did, Redress, it was about Nazis and, you know, how someone would kind of go down that route to be radicalized and become a Nazi. That one I would say is probably done the best at in the festival route. I want to say that went to like maybe 25-30 festivals. It was an interesting film to make, because you know, we had a lot of diverse people on this project, and for whatever reason we all bonded behind, you know, that idea that let's make a great film, even though, you know, none of us really like the subject matter of this project. So I would say that, you know, that film has done really well. And, you know, it was just an interesting time because, you know, all the other filmmakers on the project, and just it was just really interesting how it kind of came together.
Interesting. And what's Strike Five?
So Strike Five is my film production company. Strike Five is kind of like a motto for never giving up. They say in life that if you strike out three times, then you're out. But, you know, if you're an entrepreneur or if you want to do anything in life, you know that you can't just give up after three tries. You know, you have to keep striking. So, you know, Strike Five is kind of built on the idea that keep striking out until you get your hit, your home run, or whatever you're after. So that's what we do. It's all about perseverance.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Wow. So how's the process been going with you trying to find that, the distributor and a funder for your latest project? Has it been like a real struggle? Have you just started or?
Yeah, we've been striking out a lot, but I guess pun intended there, but, I'd say, eventually we're going to be successful. I've gone to a lot of pitch festivals, pitch sessions. I've written a lot of grants, applied for, film residencies, and, we definitely lose more than we win, but, we have gotten, into some, film residencies, and we've gotten some small grants here and there. So we even have some investors that are sitting on the sideline presently. So we're just going to continue moving forward, doing podcasts, making content, being diligent about, improving at our craft. And then, I do believe our chance will come.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I remember this might be, 2 years ago, I interviewed, because I have like another podcast, I have like an MMA podcast, and I interviewed a guy who would do film documentaries. That was his thing. And I just remember distinctively that because he would make the documentaries and then he would distribute it himself. So my question to you is, have you ever thought of making the film, the best way you can, and then like going through like Amazon Prime or something like that? Because I know they have that platform for, self-produced movies or not. Because I know for authors, like for us, you can upload your content and publish a book. But I also know they have that for filmmakers as well. I don't know if you have thought about that or...
I have, in the Bay Area, there's a lot of filmmakers that they've gone that route. What's another one? Tubi, mm-hmm. They've uploaded their projects to that. And, while that's great, I don't feel that they really make their money, that they would like to out of these projects. I think they get a fraction of what they could, to start off, not that anyone really goes into the film industry to make money. I think you start off with a passion, and during that passion you find out that it's really hard. You're gonna get way more no's than yeses. So in my mind, if you're gonna struggle that much and you're going to sacrifice so much, then you might as well get a real opportunity to make a film with a real distributor, like a A24, something of that caliber, that, believes in your project and will help to market your project and then give you an option such as a Disney Plus or a Netflix or something like that.
Next question, like how does one get like on Netflix? Yeah. A lot of them are stuff based on books, and the book becomes popular and then somehow they get a film deal.
Yeah, you really just have to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to be seen. So, that's why I'm doing a lot of podcasts, and I want to say this is like my 45th time I've been in a podcast, news magazine, newspaper, et cetera. Really putting myself out there, and, I have to believe that there's a tipping point as far as, you've done enough media that when you go into the interview or pitch session, they know who you are. They know that you've been kind of grinding for a long time, and if your product is good, which I believe that ours is, then I do believe there an opportunity will be given.
Mm. Now, I got an interesting question for you, right? Because right now, your film company, Strike with a Strike Five or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the business model? Because obviously you're not just your this one project hasn't taken off yet. So do you do like commercials or other film, short film projects for other people? Is that the, like the real moneymaker for your business?
Yeah, so we do music videos.
I was gonna ask that. I was gonna say, yeah, okay, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so we've done music videos, we've done corporate videos, we've done you know, I have a partner that does like a lot of wedding videos and photography. So we keep ourselves pretty active and, you know, keep the brand going. We also sell apparel. So if you're on my website, and anyone that goes to the website, please support us by buying a hat.
Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, we do, a little bit of everything. We have big aspirations to do a lot. So, but in the interim, you know, we know that you can't just, you know, hope for something. You have to actually be continuing to creating content. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And if anybody is listening to the podcast, his website is jasonjohnsonproducer.weebly.com. I'll have a link to it in the podcast notes. But there, you know, you can just click on the shop. And that's where you can get the apparel for the hats and so forth. But yeah, it's very interesting. And then, so what do you think your next steps that will be that you will take to finally meet your goal getting that project? And then my other question would be, is that the only one that you're like working on, or is there something else?
No, so
back burner.
Yeah, so I actually I've written a rom-com, and then I'm presently writing a skateboard bandit film. So, you know, I'm keeping myself pretty busy as far as just writing and then you know, with, you know, other kind of day-to-day projects. We have another rap video coming up, which is not my favorite, but, you know, at the same time, you know, it pays the bills. So, but, you know, it keeps you sharp. It keeps you resourceful as far as, you know, things that, you know, to kind of get the message and the image across. I find like a lot of rap videos are somewhat similar, where, you know, you have the artists, and then, you know, they're entrenched with, you know, or maybe not entrenched, but just surrounded by a lot of females and money.
Yeah.
and luxury, and, you know, that's kind of,
yeah,
the always, common thread point. Yeah.
Yeah, and they always got those women shaking their booty, man.
Yeah, so that's like, you know, I'm not complaining when, you know, the extras come in. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, what do they call that? Tweaking, right? Tweaking.
Yeah. So
yeah, man, it's not easy. Like, I interview a lot of like entrepreneurs, artists, like, you know, I've also done a lot of authors too, but I find myself leaning more to like entrepreneurs, like business owners, and like people like yourself who are into filmmaking, or musicians. Nothing against authors, because I've written books myself, but I just find that this group of people interesting, because it's not easy, right? Because you're always brought up, oh, you know, when you get a job, try to do something you like, but everybody can make money at what they like. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, you know, sometimes I always joke, I was just like, man, you know, if I was born a female, man, it would be a lot easier for me, because I would just like, I'd make sure my assets were looking good, and then I would go on OnlyFans and, you know, kind of go that route. But, you know, it is what it is, you know, so it's like, you do the best with what you have, and, you know, but I do believe that, you know, if you believe in something, and then you work at it long enough, then eventually, you know, you'll get your opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so that would be the advice that you would give someone who's trying to like probably do something similar to you, is just to keep hacking away, right?
Yeah, you know, there was a I was watching this movie. It's called The Founder, and it's about Ray Kroc, you know, the guy who's, you know, credited with the expansion of McDonald's. And this guy was like, he was late in life, you know, he was maybe 50 years old. He hadn't really done, he hadn't had like a big hit, so to speak. And he came across McDonald's selling these ice cream machines. And, you know, from there he bought in as a head of the franchisees, and then, you know, expanded it. And, you know, that became his, you know, calling card in life. But for him, you know, going door to door selling these ice cream machines, he had a lot of failures with it, but he credited his success to being persistent. And that's really what it is. You know, I've met so many filmmakers that are way talented than I am, but, you know, they quit when the going gets tough. Mm. And, you know, you really have to, if you get knocked down 10 times, you got to get up 11. So really that's what it is. And I'm willing to bet that anyone that has ever done anything of significance has that same type of philosophy, that persistence outweighs everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Persistence, passion, hard work. And I guess the ultimate thing would be vision, right? You gotta have, I'm a big believer in visualization, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, I was into the martial arts. A lot of the champions, they would say before they would go into a fight, they would visualize themselves winning. So I guess it would be the same thing for an entrepreneur or a filmmaker or a musician. You know, they got to have this, have the vision and visualize themselves being successful.
Absolutely. I mean, if you get knocked down, I don't know anyone that says, oh, I'm going to get up again, but I know I'm going to get knocked down. I mean, you have to visualize yourself winning and being successful. Otherwise, you know, I guess you're just a glutton for punishment. But yeah, I always see myself winning. I always see myself, you know, being at the Academy Awards and making this picture. So you know, following other dreams that I have that can come out of filmmaking. So,
yeah. That's good. Good.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Well, it was good talking to you. Hopefully one day I get to see one of your films on Netflix so you can come back on the show or whatever distributor channel you find, you come back to help promote it. That'd be great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody, this is Mark the Shark signing off. And take care and have a great weekend or whatever day you're listening to this podcast. All right, Jason, take care.
Take care, Mark. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Brandy Alexander, and you are listening to The Mark the Shark Show.
Hi, everyone. Well, unfortunately, all good things must come to an end, and that's all we have for this particular podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you keep following my podcast here, The Mark the Shark Show, and keep listening and look out for future podcast episodes.